everyone. We talked about sugar and Halloween last week, and not to jump the Thanksgiving gun too much, but in our 20th episode, we wanted to talk all things holiday. So we want you to navigate November and December feeling sane and in control and feeling great heading into the new year.
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of preconceptions about holiday eating and sort of a lot of propaganda about it being, you know, this disaster zone. And I think there are definitely legit challenges, whether it's travel or family or socializing, but it definitely doesn't have to be a doozy in terms of your food. I was recently talking to a writer from a magazine, and she asked the, you know, sort of age-old question if, you know, gaining 5 pounds over the holidays was a myth or not. And we just think that there are certain places where the statistics are, you know, sort of so silly and don't do that much for us. So could we all gain 5 pounds if we, you know, start to push the envelope and unbutton over Thanksgiving and then proceed to green light, you know, sort of every Christmas cookie and cocktail? Could you, like, you could probably put on more than 5.
Easily, yes.
But I think sometimes like the perceived challenge can be self-fulfilling, and we assume that, you know, this is a terrible time of year. We've actually seen an interesting trend in terms of our offices. I'd say, what would you like, in the past few years, 2 or 3?
Definitely
years?
Last year was a big one.
With clients starting to contact us, you know, right after Thanksgiving. So in the past, it used to be like, we hear from everybody in January, and we still love everybody we hear from in January. But we've had clients that are, you know, maybe it's a sign of being proactive, or maybe it's just, you know, sort of fear getting the better of them, but they really want to connect with us and have some accountability over the holidays. So in order to rein it in a little bit. So I think maybe some of the holiday hysteria has made people aware enough to be reasonable. Our goal for our clients is always just to emerge on January 1st unscathed. Like we realize that it's sometimes not the time to do crazy goal setting. But, you know, I think just because you lose it a little bit over the holidays doesn't mean that you have to, you know, sort of, you know, and we'll talk about it, have the efforts. And maybe today's podcast will help you turn the holiday tide. I think, you know, just having guidelines and a plan, that's, you know, sort of what we believe in for any situation. And I think that where people can go wrong is that they can try to like impose their day-to-day at a time that's sort of atypical.
Totally, yes. So in one-on-one sessions with clients, we actually have them fill out a worksheet, sort of like a Mad Libs, and we'd like to do this for a couple of different circumstances, whether it's travel or for the holidays specifically. So we have them do a sort of holiday helper. And we're going to walk through parts of that with you today so that you can better navigate the holidays. It's funny, actually, I had a client reach out recently that was like, you give away all the secrets on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh. I paid for these. I'm like, the accountability is the secret sauce. But we think it's important.
And again, personalizing it, obviously.
Of course. Like,
you know, that's we offer expertise.
Of course.
That's so funny.
I know, I love
that.
You
did think about that.
So our first healthy holiday tip is that any week or any holiday week or really any extra social week, which this might even resonate for you over the summer too, we want you to pick 2 A-game days. So 2 days where you're going to be completely on your game. And this doesn't mean the diety mindset so much as to like indulge and then totally restrict, but it's the exact opposite of like have 2 days that you know are going to make you feel fantastic heading into an extra social week so that you'll go into the event feeling much better and it's not like punishment style. Mm-hmm. And so A-game days or days that you're on your eating game are going to be really veggie heavy. They're going to be dry or no alcohol days. They're also, we would suggest being lower carb or maybe even skipping carbs and grains altogether. That can always make you feel, you know, especially if those are sneaking in all over the place or maybe cookies are like a thing that you really love, skipping grains and carbs, you know, and sort of like
just 2 days,
just a day or two a week can really, really help. And then home cooking, so important with all the meals that are out, all the holiday parties coming back and, you know, having it be a healthy dinner at home a couple times a week, having early bedtimes, having your sleep on track too. So, so important. So that's sort of what an A-game day would entail. And it's really the opposite of holiday eating. We think Mondays and Tuesdays are great days to do this. Have them be dry, have them be low carb, have them be veggie forward, have them be homemade. But
just whatever your version of like those. Your best food and exercise day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think a big, you know, sort of a big goal of ours with clients and for listeners is it's really important to master different gears. So you don't want just like crazy strict or like just crazy, crazy eating and to really know like, this is what my A-game day or my Monday and Tuesday is going to look differently from like a Saturday party day. And that's okay. And that's sort of part of the plan.
Totally.
You know, I think one reason the holidays are a little bit different than just a typical social week is because of like a lot of the emotional associations. I think we all have associations with certain festive foods. I recently had a phone session with a client. This made me think of it. And we were talking, you know, it's fall. She had, you know, caramel apples were like always her favorite. And she, you know, sort of we budgeted it and we planned for it. And she got the caramel apple this year. And she's like, this is like kind of, I forget, I wrote it down, but like, she's like, this is like sticky and too sweet. And like, it wasn't how it was in her mind, which I think is important to realize. You might not like, you know, sort of certain things that you liked when you were younger. You can still have those memories. But with that, we'd like you to pinpoint two or three, we call them treasured treats. You know, really think about sort of this time of year and, you know, as you're hearing about things, pinpoint two or three treats that you really want to incorporate. It's kind of fun to walk down memory lane and narrow it down. I'm thinking like for me, it's my brother-in-law makes crazy eggnog with like seven kinds of alcohol.
Yeah.
And I also love peppermint bark. So those would be two things that would, you know, sort of be on my list. What would you say?
I love like malt cider and like really sweet, sort of sweet cidery drinks.
Like boozy or no?
Yes, yeah. Please. And also like pecan pie. Yeah.
I think pecan pie club is like a strong one. Like
yes.
People that love it. I do think the Yes Bars are a little
bit. You read my mind. Yeah, the Yes Bars we have in our office. There's a maple pecan sea salt, I think, flavor that is sort of reminiscent. If you could like heat it up and put a scoop of ice cream on it, it might work.
We'll try that.
Yeah.
So you want to talk
about that? So really to the extent that you can, you want to plan out your treats just as much as you're planning out those A-game days. And actually, there's some research that shows if you say to yourself, like, I know I can have XYZ later, I'm really looking forward to the pecan pie or to the eggnog. It actually helps you out versus like when you're faced with cookies or cookie tray of stuff that you don't love as much. So saying, I know I can have that later can sort of offset the need to have something right now. And we really just believe in finding the best version of your favorite foods. I say this like year round too, like don't eat like a gross French fry from a diner. Eat like the best goddamn French fries in New York City if that's like something that's important to you. But you want to find the versions that are totally worth it. Otherwise, it's just not that much of a treat. Same with like Levain cookies are my favorite. Do you have one of those that is like a worthwhile version?
It's so funny. I couldn't do Levain for years because they didn't make a gluten-free. And now they do. And I'm like, I just kind of wish they didn't. I don't even walk on that side of the street.
We get sent some gifts from like media stuff sometimes here. And last year it was like all Levain cookies. And I remember you couldn't have any. So I'm like, more for me.
They're definitely passed that. They passed that test.
Right.
And one other thing that came to mind this time of year in terms of like not worth it, like office freebies.
Oh, totally.
I think are just such a disaster over the holidays. I think just like a little public service announcement, like nobody needs a tub of popcorn, even though I know they're kind of, like if you just send those things, you know, without thinking, it's kind of unkind.
Yeah, totally.
There was another interesting study that was talking about if you like kind of visualize yourself actually eating your treats, you often eat less of them, which I thought I was trying to think of, you know, why that might be the case. Like maybe because then when you do eat them, when you eat them, you eat a smaller portion was the conclusion. Maybe they're less guilt ridden, or maybe there's like some satisfaction from kind of like thinking about it that way. I don't really know. But I think the takeaway from this is just that what you want to avoid is things that are, as Carolyn said, unplanned or you know, impulsive or like, you know, not to like out myself for my love of all things Bachelor, but like not for the wrong reasons.
Absolutely. Okay. So we have choosing your A game and then having two or three treasured treats. Because there are more of these overall all holiday season long. And this is a little more in terms of like the day of on a daily basis. But there are these foods that we call fullness foods. There are five of them that we really love. And we suggest sort of incorporating these. Chia is fantastic. So in a smoothie or in a yogurt for breakfast. People even crunch, like you can even throw them in a salad if you want to.
Yeah. And again, they have the fiber. And they also, if you've ever made chia pudding or put chia in water or had a chia head. What were those called?
Chia pet.
That they expand. So yeah. That's what they're doing.
Yeah, they expand. They help keep you full and are going to be full of fiber and even chia pudding too. We kind of missed that one. 2 is a fantastic one. And then we have our fab fats, which we hopefully have drilled into you by now. MCT oil, olive oil, help with satiation, great for brain health, great for skin too, especially in winter, great for dry skin. Water, of course, is key, staying hydrated, and especially to offset if there is more alcohol than normal, more, you know, sugar, more just food that you don't normally eat. You want to be flushing it out, and same even for your immune system and your mood too. So, and also because when it gets colder out, we forget to drink water more and more. So far we have chia, we have our fab fats, we have our water. Then we have our top shelf vegetables, which would be broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, and cabbage. So we want on a day that you might have a party, we want to do at least 2 cups of each of these. Two cups of these on a day when you have a party. So again, the top shelf veggies, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels, asparagus, kale, or cabbage. And then eggs are a fantastic fullness food too. Probably because of the combo of protein and fat and lots of vitamins in that yolk. And help keep you satisfied in a big way.
Nothing. If you eat eggs, few things keep you as more satisfied as a couple of eggs.
I actually even had them for dinner last night. I love them. Any time of day. So yeah, incorporate a couple of these, if not all of these foods on a daily basis during the holiday season, kind of like anchors. Do these behaviors no matter what.
Yeah. And I love that tip because I think so much of, you know, sort of the advice that's given in terms of eating over the holidays is what not to eat and sort of dodging a lot of the treats. So this, you know, sort of we definitely don't believe in like saving up, like, you know, you're going to a party, so eat as little as you can. No. Eat strategically that day. We've talked before about triangle eating, which is how, you know, sort of eating a little bit if you think of a triangle, a little bit in the morning, a little bit more at lunch, and then sort of having your day be way too bottom heavy. Mm-hmm. We don't want our day or ourselves to be bottom heavy, but you want to add a little bit more food early in the day. You're going to have so much wherewithal when you are at an event or a party.
Totally.
And I just think psychologically, like here are these foods, just like we talked about with the A game, they're giving us maximum nutrition, maximum staying power. It's just like a nicer thing to focus on than
what we're adding always.
And like listening to your stomach growl. So the next tip is what we call solitary enjoyment. So instead of like solitary confinement. So I think the holidays are just frenetic. It's overscheduled. Like to me, it's just so annoying in that way. I'm definitely somebody who prefers less festive. So maybe I'm a Grinch.
No way.
But like we need to have ways to counter that. So it's not just this like tidal wave of stuff. And one of that is to just make the most of your solo meals. Carolyn has a great tip that we've used with our food stockies and our food training program. And that's, let me get it right, like when you eat, eat.
When you eat, only eat, yeah.
So, you know, focus on what you're eating. Take it a step further, you know, have your meals be screen-free. Watch the pace that you eat. We call this, you know, slow poke. We have a name for everything. Be slow poke eating. But this not only makes you more mindful of what you're eating, it's going to lower your stress hormones and just make your food more satisfying. Mm-hmm. And I think like stealing those little breaks, it doesn't have to be, you know, like we always say, it doesn't have to be a massage or it doesn't have to be like an hour-long walk at lunch. It can really be like, for these 5 minutes, I'm going to eat my lunch.
Yeah, totally. Like you deserve to have that 5-minute break.
Yeah. And we get pushed back and I'm like, 5 minutes. You have five minutes. You go to the bathroom.
Totally. And like when you're eating in fight or flight mode too, you're sort of not paying attention or eating stress.
Isn't good.
Yeah, digestion isn't good. And actually you absorb less nutrients too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay. So the next thing after our solitary enjoyment would be to move for your mood. So another way to get out of that sort of frenetic energy is movement and sort of committing to this throughout the holiday season.
I had a client yesterday who said it should be called like moodment.
Right? I love that.
Movement.
Yeah. That's so good. And this is nothing to do with a calorie burn or very little to do with that. And like I've participated in those turkey burns and turkey trots and like double, you know, soul cycles or whatever. I'm just kind of over that, to be honest, of the burning off to eat mentality. But movement's so crucial for endorphins and also for like dealing with family stuff and all of the stresses that come with the holidays too. And so we would suggest, you know, if you can include a workout at least 3 or 4 days a week, some sort of daily movement, even if that is walks. And on that note too, steps are fantastic. All of our phones at this point have a sort of step tracker, and we suggest trying to get over 7,500 steps, if not higher.
Like over 7,500, like every single day.
Every single day. Yeah. So check out where you are. You can open your phone while you're listening to this and see what your average is over the past little bit.
And then I don't know if my phone reset on its own. They now list your, like the average is always listed.
I haven't noticed that. Also like doing a little bit of elevation is important too. So getting steps in wherever, getting actual, like taking the stairs wherever you can too.
Yeah, lots of unusual benefits with going up, or as we've said before, going down, downstairs too. You use a lot of your body weight. The same writer that I was talking to about the holidays, she said, you know, and she was kind of asking me these like stereotypical, what about like working out more on the holidays? You know, and I just, the stepping up the exercise, like it's not going to balance out like scarfing down everything.
And it actually makes you hungrier a lot of the time too, as we talked about in, I think, our exercise podcast.
Yeah, hungrier, higher stress hormones. I just think like that type of like food and exercise math is always faulty. Like,
always.
You're never going to win that game.
I know. We really want to like dissociate exercise and food.
Yeah. And again, like it, we're pro exercise, but not as a mean to like a means to eat super differently.
Totally.
I think actually, you know, we can connect with our bodies. It's, you know, a mood booster, as Carolyn said. I think sweating helps you eliminate toxins. So you do want to make sure that that's happening a little bit from you, but it like doesn't cancel out like the stuffing in my eggnog.
Totally.
And I think a lot of people are of the like, I exercise, so therefore I can indulge. Mm-hmm. And like, we kind of know how that story ends already. And just in terms of like the turkey trots and burns and like the last thing, I'm sounding like a horrible person, but like the last thing I want to do, maybe it makes me like an introvert before a big gathering, is to like gather.
I think
more.
It makes you an introvert and not a horrible person.
Okay. Maybe both. But I think that, you know, it doesn't mean that like you need to like sit on the couch reading, but movement, as you said, it's not necessarily like it has to be like a psychotic workout. If you love like the turkey burn and it puts you in like a good mindset, or love doing something outside in a group format, excellent. But it's like not mandatory to like step it up. You just need to like step.
Totally. That's a great point. Okay. So next up we have the food pusher, or better yet, F the food pusher. So we all know those food pushers, maybe the moms. I mean, we love moms, but the ones who load up your plate or send you home with leftovers or make you try like five different versions of potatoes or mac and cheese or pie.
It's like, I think the mom does it. I always think about this. Like, why do people, like, I think a lot of the mom food pushing is like eat more. But like, I think there's like boss food pushing and like siblings and friends. And like sometimes it's like, I don't know what you think it's about, like, but it's definitely, there's some sort of power play. Like,
absolutely.
With food pushers, maybe non-mom food pushers.
Yeah, totally. And so I think many of us cave in those moments. So let's talk a little bit about strategy. First thing is, you don't have to eat everything. Don't forget that. Like, that it's totally fine to refuse or say no to something that someone tries to give you.
Yeah, push back.
Push back. And on that note, if you are pushing back, throw in a compliment about the food somehow, or like about, you know, something else that you loved that they're serving.
It looks really helpful, but no.
But I'm not interested. And then you can also blame it on having so many holiday events. You can accept it and not ingest it actually too, if it's not something that you love. And that just goes back to like, choose those treasured treats. Don't just like have the tray of cookies. People don't tend to notice once you accept something that you're not eating it. So just something to...
Or even like pouring a drink. Like sometimes it's just easier to accept it. Mm-hmm. But usually nobody's going around to see how much you consume.
Totally. And even if nobody in the family is like super pushy, or the family dynamic is okay. You know, I love hanging out with my family. It can still make, there can be other people around. It's just like a different dynamic than you might be used to. So it can still make you nervously pick at food or overeat, or, you know, all of a sudden you're, you know, head first into the cheese board. Those sorts of foods that are like, these foods aren't always around us. Sometimes we do just end up eating more of them. And so for family dynamic stuff, we always recommend CBD, Love Wildflower, or the Lord Jones that we have in our office, and our Food Trainer's Chill Pills, which are available on our shop for handling this sort of as anchors. The Chill Pills are magnesium, which helps lower cortisol, helps you chill out, and really good for digestion too. So
I think it's so nice with the secret weapons. Again, like we don't believe that CBD will solve like all your family problems, but to kind of be like, okay, this is what I do differently over the holidays. So let's talk a little bit about the secret weapons. So CBD has a lot of research in front of it in terms of actually all types of anxiety. There's a lot we had mentioned in a newsletter about public speaking, but social anxiety and it, we really like it this time of year for those reasons. I'm not sure if it's been tested on like being locked in the house with like 100 relatives all day.
haven't seen that study
yet. Might need
yet.
A double dose.
Yeah.
It's also very safe. So you can increase it, within reason fairly easily. The chill pills Carolyn mentioned, that's more for handling like overall stress management versus like day of. You want to take the chill pills or a magnesium supplement regularly. Magnesium is depleted under stress, depleted by exercise too. And when your magnesium is depleted, your metabolism suffers. Other favorite mood boosters, vitamin D. It's kind of interesting that if you're not supplementing enough and living in, sort of in New York or similar latitudes, your D sort of starts to dive at the same time the holidays kick in. Mm. And D is closely connected to your mood. It's also low D is one of the things that, sort of winter blues mm-hmm. are behind a little bit, aside from, the darkness and all that too. So you should be supplementing with your D and magnesium, sort of throughout the year, but keep those in mind if you're not taking them to start up. Turmeric, one of our favorite food mood boosters. We've been loving these. A company called Goldies makes sachets that are great for holiday travel, like single serve with matcha and with cacao. They're just super a convenient way to take turmeric, which isn't always convenient. You could, of course, supplement a curcumin supplement too. Turmeric, an easy way to get it in actually is salad dressing. Mm-hmm. So sort of in a vinaigrette, there's often like oil vinegar and Dijon mustard or something. You can sub the turmeric in there. It's actually an ingredient in a lot of mustards. In terms of pre-event, and here's a little secret, we talk a lot about apple cider vinegar. One thing that I like to do when I'm like stepping up my game a little bit for immunity or just when I'm like headed to a party, I love our mini ACVs. I keep those, sort of in our, in a zip up, like our food first aid kit in my purse. But I do ACV about, I don't measure it, but like a pour, mm-hmm. you could measure a tablespoon. We have this Wakaya ginger powder. Ginger is both very good for like any potential tummy troubles, and both apple cider vinegar and ginger are appetite suppressants. So really good to sort of have those pre-event. I also don't like to do what we call save up. So I usually do food-wise like a nut case of, these aren't secret weapons, but walnuts mm-hmm. or a few Brazil nuts as well. So I think if you're feeling okay mood-wise and don't need, sort of those secret weapons, but are freaked out weight-wise, or both, definitely add in green tea or matcha. They're, if you consume them daily during the holidays, you'll get a little 60 to 75 calorie-ish bump in your metabolism. Also good for your liver as well. So sort of a double benefit. MCT oil, Carolyn mentioned earlier, very good. It's one of those fats that help you lose fat. For tummy troubles, and the holidays are sometimes we eat foods that we're not used to eating, probiotic and also digestive enzymes. We have one by RMS. And there's, there's a lot of overlap. The probiotics also help mm-hmm. your mood, et cetera. In terms of, for our, for all our drinking friends mm-hmm. and us, if you, sort of feel like you're drinking a little bit more dandelion or NAC, which we have as our everything pills, are very good for liver support. And also the dandelion is just a great deep loader.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of your liver, I love that segue. Let's talk about alcohol. Alcohol tends to add up so quickly with all the parties and the events and just like cozier weather too in general. Once like ski season starts, all of that. So you can go back and listen to our alcohol podcast. It was one of our, I think it's our most listened to podcast, actually.
That says a lot.
The other day, one of our first ones. If you want an in-depth lesson, go check that out. When it comes to drinks, though, we have a one-to-one rule, and that means one water for every single drink of alcohol. And the best way to do it at a party is to have water first, too.
Just puts those like breaks on.
Yeah, exactly. And don't drink alcohol on empty ever. It will set you up. So it sets your blood sugar up to sort of take a nosedive. It'll make you end up eating maybe way less healthy options. We love our nut cases or maybe a little like multiple, a nut case or two if needed. Eating a little bit of fat there helps slow down alcohol absorption, which is great. And in terms of what to drink, we love tequila. Lauren's a mezcal lover, either on the rocks, a splash of seltzer, maybe a lemon twist or I think you do an orange twist.
I do an orange in my head. I think it's like the way you're supposed to do it.
So and then a drier champagne is great too if you're feeling celebratory, or an organic red wine also gets my past this time of year. Beware the sugary ciders. I know I said earlier, they're my absolute favorite.
That's a treat.
That's such a nice one to me. That's just like so enjoyable. And it's also, I have one.
She does the glog or the, does your family do that at all? It's like a mulled.
I had a lot of mulled cider last year somehow. But you can have one of those and then you're kind of good and can like go up, move on to something else too. So try to keep it to one of those sweeter drinks. And then name your number for the week. So name your number of drinks that you're going to have total. So think through your week ahead and map out, okay, I'm going to have one drink there, two drinks there. Healthy would be 7 or less per week maximum. And ideally really it's 4 or fewer.
For women.
Yeah. 7 per men, 7 per week for men, 4 for women. And then also we talked earlier about a couple of dry days, and I think it's really, really important part of this, incorporating a few alcohol-free days. I like to have alcohol-free days on every weekday, Monday through Thursday, unless there's a big event. Or if you're like Lauren, be a single lady. And by that, I mean a single drink lady.
Single lady sounds kind of fun. I think it's, and one other just thing I should mention on that with like the drinking and the having the water first. I think at a dinner, at a gathering or a party or a dinner party, it's just so easily to get distracted and you have that nervous energy first. We have a rule we've mentioned in a lot of our newsletters, which is no whores. we mean no hors d'oeuvres, but it's actually funny. I was listening to Ina Garten on something and she was like, why would you have like, if you're going to give someone a delicious meal, like why would you fill them up before they even sit down to eat it? But you do a lot of eating, a lot of mindless eating, because it's not really with utensils or plates at hors d'oeuvre time or cocktail hour at a party, et cetera. And I think if you don't show up hungry and have the water first, and then keep it either like just to crudité or just to crudité and cheese or nothing that's sort of too involved in terms of appetizers and hors d'oeuvres. It's just a good way to go.
Definitely. Or try our 1 of 4 rule, which is 1 of 4 and no more. So there are 4 sort of areas that can mess up your, they're sort of more like vices when you're out to dinner or at someone's house. And that would be the bread, the booze, the dinner carbs, like the rice or the potatoes, and the dessert. So try to pick your 1 or maximum 2 if you really want that.
Holiday or something.
Yeah. And then skip the others. Skip seconds. And if you have to go back for something, try to keep that second plate to veggies only.
Yeah. And I think strategies like, any strategy, any pre-planning, it sort of prevents what we call the F-its, I forget if we were explicit or not. Now we are. But I think again, it's not about living without your treats. It's just like, you don't want to have a month of them, and I think that like indigestion and like pimples aren't treaty. Mm-hmm. So watch the efforts. I think they're, dangerous with food. We see, it's this mindset of like, if you're on a trip, when I get home, I'll be better. Or on Monday, I'll be better. Or on January 1st, I'll rein it in. And I think that you just green light like so much in the interim when you subscribe to that. Kind of can aggressively eat. So I think that a little bit of like a minimal amount of strategy and restraint just will help you immensely.
Definitely. And if you're boozing and sugaring it up, it's going to be harder to go cold turkey come January. The more sweets you eat, the more sweet you crave. And once you start mainlining these things, you're going to keep wanting it. And a salad is no longer going to look interesting or delicious. These festive foods can really affect your microbiome too. And once you start to eat better, there can be a lag of effects that like because of all the fun that your body's had. So it can really, really take a while to get back in the swing of things. I hope that's not too negative of a note to end on.
No, I mean, I think it's the truth. I think a lot of people think like, just January, I'll deal with it. And then you start to deal with it and you're like, okay, it's not really working as well. It's because, sort of your body kind of needs to recover.
Totally.
So if we don't, sort of do the damage, then we don't have to recover. I mean, of course, January is January. You're always going to have hopefully the surge of motivation. We just don't want you to sort of feel lousy heading into the new year.
Yeah, absolutely. So we hope this puts you in the right mindset for the holidays because that's what this is all about. And we wish you the happiest, healthiest, and still fun holidays.
Absolutely. And so, not to be a downer, but this is our last episode for a little while. I'm in denial. So I am not really going there. We're going to be taking a little break, but we left you with like 20 what we feel are episodes that really cover a lot of the basics and the important, you know, the topics that we really wanted to cover. Carolyn is heading off to a new adventure in Denver. Mm-hmm. I've received a lot of questions, so you don't need to ask, like, are you getting a new partner? Who's going to replace her? And not to be cheesy, but like, no. we've had, and I'm so happy that we've, you know, done these 20 episodes. What we have is unique. Like, we kind of read each other's minds. Mm-hmm. We get each other's shorthand and humor. I mean, it's like a very unique relationship. Sure, there might be new faces at Food Trainers, but like this relationship is rare. But if you miss us without episodes, reach out. Totally. Reach out to us and let us know, you know, sort of what to cover or what you're liking or what you're utilizing. And if you want to give us a holiday present, rate us or comment, subscribe. Like, actually, like, when you're done, do that. It's not
Thank
just
you,
like,
please, yes. Totally.
Visit foodtrainers.com. Make sure you're getting the newsletter, et cetera. The products that we always mention and we update it a lot are on Shop Food Trainers. And with that, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Talk to you soon.